Hallelujah. And if you find your Bible, if you'll get your Bible and you'll open it up to 3 John. That's that little book in the back. Find the book of Revelations, which is the very back, and you can go working your way forward from there. Revelations, then you'll find little Jude, and then you'll find 3 John. Just one page. Most of them are stuck together, so just open that up and you'll find it there. 3 John. Okay, let's all pray, and we want to do this. I want to encourage you in this. Most people, when they grow up in a particular church or denomination, they tend to think that way. That's the way they're taught. You know, I grew up in the Baptist church, and so when Connie and I began to try to get some focus in our life, then we went to the Baptist church, because that's just a traditional thing. We generally do that. So if you're raised Catholic, in fact, the Catholics kind of have a saying, if you'll allow them to have your children when they are little and take them through catechism, then as far as they're concerned, the rest of their life, they'll always be Catholic. That's kind of a phrase they say. So if you let them teach you their dogmas and their doctrines, then those dogmas and doctrines stay with you. And that's fairly close to truth, because it's nearly impossible to think outside the box or to think outside the religious normal that you were raised in. And, you know, when we come to church here, we're just like a smorgasbord. It's just a mixture. It's a whole variety, as you heard earlier. You know, we have Church of Christ, we have Catholic, we have Baptist, we have Pentecostals, we have tongue-talking different ones. So it's a mixture. And so what you can do is you can just kind of, if you want to, take a deep breath with me. Inhale. Exhale. They'll find out that you've been down here sooner or later, so it'll be okay. So everybody just kind of relax, take your shoes off, it'll be all right. What we want to do, we want to put our focus on one thing. And that is, we really would like to hear from God. We'd like to hear what God's got to say. Now, we all know our dilemmas and our problems, because everybody sitting here has a dilemma, a problem, a situation, a circumstance in your life. Everybody does. Some of us have got a bunch of them. Some of us have more than enough problems, dilemmas, and circumstances in life. But they come. That's a part of living life. It's just like you don't wake up every day to a full moon. If y'all didn't notice that, I'll tell you that. They're nice when they come, but they don't come every day. They come in cycles. And if you look at your life, most of you look at your life and you realize your life is kind of like that. It cycles. It cycles out. And one day you have this situation, and then it goes away for some reason or another, or don't go away. It just gets hid. And then 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years later, here it is again. And I have this phrase I say that we just continually go around and around the mountain. How many of you ever been around the mountain more than one time? I have many times around and around. And sometimes we get stuck in that cycle of, well, hi, Veronica. Find your seat, baby. You get stuck going around and around. And many times when you get stuck going around and around, it's hard to break that cycle. It's just like, you remember those old records we used to have that had a scratch in them, and it would go around singing this song, and it would hit that spot, and it started all over again. How many of y'all have ever, you remember that? Some of you that's 39 and over will remember that. It goes around and hits that spot, and it just starts all over again. Well, that's how your life is. Most of you live life like that. You hit them spots and you start all over again, and here you go doing the same thing again. And you do it until you die, until they put you in that box and put you in the grave. It's a cycle around and around and around. Mark chapter 5, I believe it is, Mark chapter 3 calls that eternal damnation. And religion taught us to associate eternal damnation with some event that'll happen way out in the future, in time after time, which we don't know anything about, that's when eternal damnation will happen to you. But the sad thing is that the word eternal is the Greek word aionos, which means continual or perpetual. Continue or to perpetuate something. That's the word eternal. And the word damnation is the Greek word krisis. And we get our English word crisis. How many of you have ever had a life crisis? More than one. That's what I'm talking about. So what Jesus is saying about eternal damnation, he says is you get stuck in a continued crisis. You don't have to go way off out yonder somewhere for that to happen. Most of you, that's where you're at. Stuck in some kind of a continual crisis. Well, you know what God said? I've come to put a nickel on the needle to show you how to get on past that. Now, you have to be 39 or older to understand what I just said. For my grandson here that don't understand what I mean when I say put a nickel on. How many of y'all remember doing that, putting a nickel on? Did you really tell? Yeah, we used to, and it would hit that spot. Here it go again. So if you put a nickel on the needle, a little weight. Everybody say a little weight. You see, the glory of God, another word for the glory of God is the weight of God. Just a little bit of God's weight on that spot will get you through it. And you get the glory instead of starting all over again. Now, how many of you have ever gone from here to Florida and got lost going through Atlanta? Well, listen, you didn't come back to Dalton to start all over again. If you did, I need to talk to you after service. If you get lost in Atlanta going to Florida from Dalton, you find out where you're lost and you move on from there. See, God's not trying to take anybody back to square one. God wants you and me to recognize who He is and connect to Him and get on past these crises in life. Get past these stuck spots. And so that's what this is about. So now, if you have a watch, just take it off. It just don't do you any good here. I don't wear them. I quit wearing them years ago. You won't find a watch on my arm because I'm not concerned about time. I see in the realm I'm living in is eternal. I'm not interested in your realm called time. Nor is God interested in that. And you get locked into that time realm and it will haunt you. It'll drive you. You'll become a slave to it. You'll work for it. And you'll never accomplish anything. So we're not going off time. So if you got a watch, put it in your pocket. We're not concerned about the time. We're concerned only about God's schedule. What God wants us to hear, what God wants to say. So we want to tune in and we want to listen up. We want to hear what God's talking to us about. Now, how many of you found 3 John? All right, I want you, if you don't have a Bible, look with your neighbor, look at somebody next to you, and I want to read one verse. This verse changed my life 30 years ago. This one verse of Scripture turned my life around over 30 years ago. Totally. I didn't know this verse of Scripture was in the Bible. But 30 years ago, I saw this verse of Scripture, and it turned me around. It caused me to look at life differently. And it was just this one phrase, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be healthy as your soul prospers. Let's everybody, that's simple, let's everybody say it. Beloved, I wish above all that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Now, did you hear what that just said? What turned me around over 30 years ago was I first heard that God literally did want to prosper me. Whatever that means. Now I'm going to tell you something. To an Aborigine, that don't mean the same thing it does to us in North Georgia. To prosper to an Aborigine don't mean to have a Lexus or a BMW or a $500,000 home. Do you know what would he do with a Lexus or a $500,000 home? Do you tell me what would an Aborigine do with that? Everybody say nothing. He has no use for it. But yet he also needs to prosper. You see, prosperity means different things to different people. You hear what I'm saying? But now to us, when we think about prosperity, what do you think about? Money in the bank, nice car, houses, clothes, etc., etc., etc. That's what we think about when we think about prospering. Well, what does God think about when God thinks about prospering? The Greek word here is Yehuda. That's kind of a weird note. It means help on the road. If you're stranded on the road and you need help, that's prosperity. So that's what the word means. Help on the road. It means to succeed in reaching something. It means to succeed in a business affair. And it also means to have a prosperous journey. Now, did you hear that? To have a prosperous journey. You see, God has never left you and God has never forsaken you, not one moment in your life, ever. From the time that you came into this earth journey until this very moment that you're alive right now, God's never left you. God has never departed from you. Now, maybe you did depart from Him. Maybe you did get lost, or at least you thought you were. Maybe you thought you shook Him off. Maybe you thought that something, you did something and He got mad at you. But that's not true. God never left you and God never will leave you. God is always a very present help anytime you have a need. Always. That's just the bottom line. That's the fact. So God brought you here. You came here. And I want you to hear this. Hard for us many times to hear this is that we are spiritual beings. First and foremost, you are a spiritual being. You are an eternal being. Now, we hear that, but we don't recognize that. Even if you believe in a tormenting place somewhere out in the future, then your belief system tells you that you are an eternal being, that you'll be eternally tormented in some place. So even in that kind of a belief idea or system, you still believe you're an eternal being. Well, if you're an eternal being, that part of your eternal being is spirit. That part of your being is the part I would like to commune with. That part of your being is the part that God communed with. Spirit to spirit. Iron sharpening iron. Deep calling out to deep. And so God this morning crying out to you in the depth of your soul and in the depth of your being, and He's saying, spirit to spirit, I want to prosper you in your journey. Let's say life journey. Because we're all on a life journey. We're all traveling through this life. And we're all going through the motions. And one reason that many times people get lost in their journey is they begin to think, now here, this is a hard one, they begin to think that God's outside of them instead of inside them. And it's a great division that we have, so we think God's up there, God's out yonder somewhere, rather than realizing God's inside. God's in me. Did Jesus not say in Luke 17 that the kingdom of God is where? Yes. Is it in you? Well, is God the king in the kingdom? Yes. Everybody say yes. So where's the king of the kingdom at? He's inside you, in His kingdom. Now you may not know that, you may not realize that, you may not have connected to that, but nevertheless, it's the truth. Amen. It's real, it's true. So our problem many times begins to be that we think that God's outside of us rather than recognize God's inside us. So I want you to just listen to this little phrase I wrote in prayer. Born within every human being is a draw, or a vacuum, or a pull, or a wooing, or a nudging. Now you don't know that. Most of you don't know that. How many of you feel it right now? Most of you, I don't feel nothing. Well, how many of you feel the pull of the North Pole? How many of you feel it right now? It's pulling you. Well, it's there. It's pulling you. It's pulling. As a matter of fact, if somebody would get a compass out and we could all look at it and just watch that needle turn it and watch that needle, and all of a sudden that needle would just boom. Does it or does it not? It goes north, don't it? You know why? Because it's an invisible pull. Well, inside you there's an invisible pull. You don't see it, and most of the time you don't feel it. But a key to living a prosperous life is getting tuned in to where you can feel that. Getting tuned in to where you can hear that. Getting yourself tuned in to where when God said stop, stop, you stop. And when God said go, go, you go. Or when God said stop, go right, go left, you do that. That's a key to living a prosperous life. We're out here just living any kind of an old life that we want to live. Most of us are out here trying to make a living. Aren't we? That's what we're trying our best to do. We're trying to make a living, not knowing living's making us. making you who you are. It's making you what you've become. You know why? Because you've become a slave to the time, to the clock, to the dollar. I'm doing better preaching than y'all act like. Now listen, born within every human being is a draw, or it's a vacuum, a pull, a wooing, a nudging, and it's back to your source, back to where you came from. That's what that drawing is. This draw or this pull or this vacuum is unseen, and for most people it's unknown. It's that deep that calls to the deep that's within every one of us, or it's spirit calling to spirit. In Scripture, what could be called the Holy Writings, we have phrases such as a gulf between us, or a great abyss, or a deep pit, or an endless void. In any case, it is a space between you and God. It may seem like a million miles, or it may only be one inch. God is as close as the mention of His name. It is the gulf or the endless void that I want to talk to you about. It's that I want to try to show you or get some clarity. It's this space in the Hebrew language, which is called the Da'at. D-A-A-T-H. The Da'at. That's what that space is called, or that invisible void. Or as you look up into the heavens at night and you see the galaxy and the stars and all of the solar systems and beyond what you can see are even more galaxies and more solar systems and more, and beyond that's even more and more and more, and beyond all that it's so big, it's so incomprehensible, but it's God. That's how big God is. Now, I hate to bust your bubble, but I need to do that. God is not a man. God's not limited to what we as men are. Numbers clearly tells us God is not a man that He would lie. Yet we try to lock God into this concept of being a man, and when we do, we live it. God, we think God's sitting up there somewhere on this planet we concocted called heaven. And from that planet, He's running this whole thing. And we limit God to that space, and yet we know that God feels all and is all and in all. It's beyond comprehension. Your natural mind can't figure that out. You just have to allow that to be. Say, it just is. Say, it just is. See, it is. It's bigger than the limitations that you and I put on it. But yet, between you and God, or between you and that source, which we think sometimes is a million miles, or we think sometimes is only an inch, or only as close as the mention of His name, or as close as the flickering of an eye. I want to talk about that space. Just that space, because when you and me can connect to that space, then we can begin to prosper. We can begin to see what God has for us in this journey that we call life. So if you would, I want you to go with me to the book of Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Proverbs chapter 4. And look at let's just verse 20. Let's start right there. Proverbs 4:20. He said, "My son, attend to my words and incline your ear unto my sayings, and let them not depart from your eyes, and keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh." I want you to notice what he's talking about. He's not talking about that book that's in your lap. Now, most people think that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about that book that's in your lap. He said that his words is like digging for silver and gold, and if you can find them. Now, if you can't find that book that's in your lap, me and you need to talk after church. Hello. Because he's not talking about that book. Now, I know you've been taught that that book that's in your lap is called the Word of God. Let me tell you something about that book that's in your lap. That book contains words. God spoke through men. But God's word is what God is saying to you. And if you don't know what God's saying to you, that's what this is about. That's what that gulf is. That's what that pit is. That's what that abyss. That's what that bottomless pit is. It's that space. And you think it's a long way. Many times people are taught or trained to think it's a huge distance, not realizing and not even recognizing that it's very close. Verse Verse 22, for they are life to those that find them, health to all of their flesh. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. One translation says, out of your heart flow the well springs of life. Anybody have a translation that says something like that? Out of your heart flow the well springs of life?
I have a note that says forces.
Forces of life. Out of your heart flow the forces. Now I want to ask you something. What's flowing out of your heart? And I'm going to tell you what's flowing. Look at your life. Just take a moment right now. Pause. Look at your life. Because whatever's happening in your life is what's happening in your heart. And that's why you're getting what you're getting. Now, if you don't like what you're getting, then my advice to you would be stop. Every time I say that, I'm tempted to sing that old song. My wife said, don't sing. Stop in the name of the Lord. Think it over. That's what God is saying. Stop. So if you don't like what you're getting, stop. Just stop. And I'm not trying to get you to do something to work up God or get real holy or you got to go to church or you got to cut your hair or you got to whatever it is that you got to. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just stopping. I'm talking about just, whoa, wait just a minute. What's God saying? I don't know. Then there's where we need to start. There's a good place. Right there, we're too busy doing what we call living or trying to earn a living and haven't recognized that it's living me. It's driving us. We get addicted to it. We get caught in it. And it puts a saddle on our back, it puts a bridle in our mouth, and it begins to live us and drive us, and we haven't recognized that. It destroys us. Destroys our homes. Destroys our health. It takes away our finances. Takes away our families. And we all in the back, well, I'm earning a living. I'm living life. Are you now? Really? Stop and let's just see what's issuing. What are the forces coming out of you? What's coming up out of your being? If you haven't recognized God, if you haven't recognized your source, if you haven't connected to your source, it might be that you're living from your own energy. Might be you're living from your own ideas. Might be that you're living from the own things that you've concocted or the things that you have built up yourself. It's important for us to look for life. But I would say that most every person in here that's looking for life, what you would mean is, and help me out here if you would, what I think you mean is you want to be happy. Now don't get real religious and pious on me. You know, I ain't looking for happy. I don't want to be happy. You know why people having affairs? Because they're unhappy in their relationship. You know why people go buy cars and things that they can't afford? Because they're unhappy in the one they're driving. Hello, say, Brother Lance, good preaching. That's why people do things like that. That's why we do stupid things that we do. It's because, first off, we're unhappy. Do you know why we're unhappy? Because of that gulf. Because we hadn't connected to what happy is. Happy ain't outside you. See, that's a lie. That's a misnomer that's given to us from our society. Our society tries to tell us, say, well, now, if you go down there and get you a big Harley, praise God, you're going to be happy. No, you ain't. You're going to be in debt. I'm serious. Oh yeah, you can ride it and you can enjoy it and da 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 and all that. I got the Hell's Angels here this morning, so getting in trouble. That ain't happy. That ain't happy. I'm trying to get us to stop. I've got grandkids here that's teenagers, you know, and someday one of these times they're gonna think about getting married. I want them to think. That's all I want to do. Think. The thing that we don't do, people come to church and leave the thinker out in the parking lot somewhere. They don't think when they come in and listen to all the trash that's spewed out behind the pulpit and they call it the Word of God. They don't pause and stop and think. And all in the world God is trying to get you and me to do is stop and think about this. We're not trying to argue dialogical differences, or we're not trying to argue with you, your denomination against it. That's crazy. What we want to do is just stop. Let's just stop and think about this. Now wait a minute, is this bringing me peace? Is this bringing me happiness? What is this bringing me? Because I don't know anybody that don't look for simple things in life, such as happy. Now, I like happy. I reserved my life at one point in time, I did. I reserved my life to unhappy because I was very unhappy in a marriage. But I reserved myself to that unhappiness because I said, well, I've got to live holy. Hallelujah. I got to be pious. I got to be the model. So I got to live in this hell hole. And one day I said, Father, I ain't living in this hell hole no more. I'm tired of this. I ain't going to do this. If I have to go to hell to get out of this, because I'm in hell. And I stopped. And I began to analyze and reevaluate. And I realized that most people do things because of the pain that they live in. The pain that's issuing out of their heart. Sometimes pain they've caused. Sometimes pain that was caused on them by somebody else. But I realize most people live out of that pain. And I don't. You can take that pain to any religion you want to, and it can soothe it, and it can tell you, sweet, oh hallelujah, bless your darling heart. But it ain't going to help you until you connect to your source. Period. Until you get back to where you came. Until you go back and touch God. Then you're going to find happy. Then you're going to find prosperous. Then you're going to find joy. You're going to find love. You're going to find those things. See, those are legitimate things. There's not anything wrong with looking for it. I would say look for it and look for it and just continue to look for it. But it ain't where you might be looking. That's all I'm saying. Just stop, pause for just a moment and just say, well, let me look somewhere else here. Let me real quickly get you to turn to Hebrews chapter 3. I'm just kind of skip through here. Hebrews chapter 3, chapter 11, I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 11. Just one verse here. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 3. Now if you don't have a Bible, look with somebody, because you wouldn't know this if you didn't see it in your Bible. So look at somebody's Bible next to you if you don't have one. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It says, through faith, pistis. The word in the Greek is pistis, which means trust. Trust. You know, one of the real key issues is, do you trust God? Do you trust? And that sometimes that's a real issue. It's hard to trust. Most times say, well, I don't trust him because I can't see him. Or I don't trust him because I asked him to do something and he didn't do it. I don't, da, 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 whatever. That's the bottom line is trust. That's the real issue. Trust. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It says, through trust we understand, or through faith we understand that the worlds, it's a Greek word, aeon, which means ages, periods of time. You call it dispensations, call it whatever you'd like. We understand that the dispensations or periods of times were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, isn't that a good one? I remember years ago I read it. I said, huh? What did you say, God? What did that mean? Things that I see. Now, listen, let me break it down for you. North Georgia, just slang vernacular. Things that you see didn't come from the things you see. That's what that said. So what you see didn't come from what you see. It didn't come from another source. It come from the invisible source. Or, I said this, it come from the spiritual realm. You see, we get so locked into a carnal, natural, literal realm that we think everything in this carnal, natural, literal realm is where it's at. This is it. This ain't it. All this is just a result of that you can't see. It's a result of the unseen realm. Or you can say it, it's a result of the spiritual realm. So everything, listen to me, everything that you see was made out of God's stuff. Did you get that? Everything. Look around this building, these people, everything you see with your natural literal eye didn't come from the natural little surroundings. Everything you see came from God's stuff. God's stuff's not seen with the natural eye. The only way you see God's stuff is with your spiritual eye. You see, this morning, if you could see the spiritual eye and you would begin to focus, as Jesus called that single eye, you'd begin to see the millions of angels and beings that's in this room. You would begin to see the flow of the Spirit of God that was beginning to flow in here like a river. You would have tapped into it. You would have reached out to, oh God, I thank you. You touched me. Hallelujah. He touched me. And you would have been whole. You know why? Because there's something in here you don't see with your natural eye. There's God stuff. God things. It's here. You say, well, I don't feel it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's here. Trust me. All right, if you can't trust me, then trust it. Trust God. Just reach out and just say, oh, Father, I don't see you, I don't feel you, I don't hear you, I don't smell you. But I'm going to just in faith, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to reach out to you, and I thank you, Lord God, I'm going to taste and see that you're good. And once I begin to taste, once you taste that, you ruin it. Y'all know what that means in North Georgia? You ruin it. That means you won't ever be the same. You'll be different. You'll begin to be different. Why? Because you touch something that's outside you. Outside your natural being. You touch God's stuff. You begin to reach into that is God. Now, so all that you see didn't come from all that you see. It came from another realm or another arena. God's arena. So I want you now, if you would, go back with me to the book of Romans. These are, could be, or should be, basic scriptures that we would all know. But just quickly, look back with me. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And I want you to look at one verse. Verse 36. Romans 11:36 says, for of him, I'm reading from the King James, of him, through him, and to him. Think about that. There's a lot in that. It's just a few words, but it says a whole lot. Let's listen to it. It says, of him, through him, and to him. Now watch, let's look at it. So it's a real deep verse. It's just very deep. Now watch it again, verse, for of him, through him and to him are what?
All things.
Are what?
All things.
Does that mean everything?
All.
Don't mean everything, does it?
All.
If it says all things, does it mean all things? Y'all kind of nod. You know, y'all can do one of them crooked. You know, I say to my kids, I said, do you understand? What's that? Well, yeah, well, look at this. Again, watch it. He says, for of him, through him, to him are all things. All things mean all things? Say everything. Say all things mean all things.
All things.
Now let me read it to you from this translation. Just listen. Y'all just listen. It said, for from him, God, and through him, God, and to him, God, are all things. For all things originate, find their origin with God, and come from God. All things live through God, and all things center in and tend to consummate and end in God. Well, I thought this was going to end up in hell. Could be the same thing. Could be. I just said could be. I realize that's a theological problem. But if the scripture in Isaiah says God loses nothing, and he doesn't, it'd make God the conqueror and the winner, period.
Amen.
Period. Bottom line, God loses nothing. So if everything comes from God, everything lives and consists and is held together and has its being because of God, and then after that, everything returns back to God, Hallelujah, that's pretty much it. Then you know what I need to do? I need to connect. I need to find out where God's at. I need to go ahead and plug into God. Now listen to this. To grow up or to evolve or to expand in something that is automatically set in motion. To grow from an infant to an adult is something that automatically happens. It's like an explosion that just goes upward and outward. You ever notice that? Take Tracy and David's brand new baby. I mean, it's just a bundle of love. Have you ever noticed that? How that a baby is just a bundle of love? You hear me say this a lot. You watch him, and I've noticed he does this. He'll be laying there, and he'll just grin, real big smile. He don't have a clue who's saying what. Sometimes nobody's saying nothing. He just sits there, and he grins, and all of a sudden makes his frown. You know good and well he's talking to somebody. Don't you? Now here he is 2-3 months old, and you know he's talking to somebody. Why? Because of the expressions that's on his face. Who is he talking to? He's talking to somebody you don't see with your natural eye. He's in communion and fellowship with that from which he came. All things come from God. So where did that gift come from? Come from God. God gave it to David and Tracy. I said, here, this is my gift to you. Now you know what happens when sometimes we get a gift from God, sometimes we abuse it, sometimes we misuse it, sometimes we don't take care of it. Oh man. But it automatically will grow up. You know why? All things being equal, it's just going to automatically grow up, just like an explosion. When the explosion goes, whoo, everything starts going upward and outward. It just is set in that motion. It's set in that motion to grow. That's why God put it in here for. So God gave that gift. So growing up is filled, listen to this, it's filled with excitement, it's filled with pleasure, more things to do than you can ever do. You become lost in that. How many of you, I remember when I fell in love, Connie walked in that classroom and I was in the 11th grade and I said, I want that. And when I said I want that, I didn't mean what many people thought I meant. But I knew what I meant. That's mine. That's mine. And I got overwhelmed in that. I got caught in that. I mean, I got addicted to that. I began to live from that. Oh, God, that beautiful thing brought me pain. Y'all never experienced that, have you? Oh, hallelujah. But I'm here for better or worse. Rich or poor. Till death. And boy, we died, I'm telling you. When we died, we was connected to the wrong source. And then, hallelujah, we got connected to the right source. So, we get overwhelmed in living life. We get excited about it. And then what happens is it overcomes us. Because it's charged with tremendous feelings and great emotions. Exciting sights and wonders. It will and it does overwhelm us. It gets us trapped in addictions and habits and sidetracked in what we think is living when all the time we're really dying. Oh, God, give us an ear to hear that. Gets trapped. I remember years ago, God was dealing with me and God was dealing with Connie, and I was smoking dope and popping pills and drinking whiskey and running around. I won't go further. Doing all those things I shouldn't be doing. I thought, this is so good. I'd get drunk and Connie got to where she wouldn't go party with me no more because I was the life of the party. I wanted to dance with everybody's wife or anybody's future wife or anything. It wasn't even a wife. I don't even, you know, you get, hallelujah, everything looked good. Some of y'all been there and done that. I know you wouldn't be laughing. I was hooked. I was trapped. I was addicted. And you know what? I wouldn't dare go down to church because they're going to send me to hell short of the world. I mean, you know why? They got me condemned. And then I read that scripture. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. I said, huh? I said, did the Bible say that? Yeah. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. I didn't come to beat you up because you got problems. And yet we have these religious institutions where we gather there to let them beat us up because we got problems. Now how dumb are we? We go to these places and they just beat the hell out of us. They hammer us. You leave from them, oh God, you know that you're just a worm. You know that you ain't never going to make it. And keep going back. Now you think that ain't a fool. God didn't come to beat you up. God come to love you. God come to give us love. So we get trapped. We get addicted. We get caught in these addictions and habits, and we're sidetracked in what we think is living when all the time we're just really dying. Further away from our source. Looking for happiness and looking for love and looking for pleasures, but going the wrong way. Looking for it in the wrong direction. I told George on the way over here, I said, most of us keep falling in life because we keep walking life like this. And we wonder, well, why do I get tripped up? Because you're going backwards. We're looking out of these eyes thinking that everything out there is how it is and it's real, rather than looking in here where it really is, looking back inside me, looking back to my source, looking to God, looking at the wrong thing, and wondering why it just keeps giving me the things it keeps giving me. I remember reading books years ago. I used to like to read these success-oriented books, and they said it's a fool that keeps doing the same thing expecting different results.
That's right.
Get sidetracked in what we think is living when really we're dying. Anytime that you're addicted to anything that's drawing you away from God, who is your true source from which you came, you're dying. You're going further away from happiness. Oh, you may think it's fun right now. Hallelujah. It is fun right now. I had a lot of fun in its season and its pleasure, not knowing that it was destroying me, not knowing that it was killing my body, not knowing that it was taking my money, not knowing that it was doing all the things, destroying my marriage, destroying my children.
Oh, but it was fun. And one day, God, as He does, He just kind of interrupted my journey. Said, there's another way. And you know what? And that's when I repented. And I found out what repent means. I started thinking different, because that's what repent. Metanoia means think different. Not go to church. Hallelujah. You ain't going to get what I'm telling you coming to church 1 hour or 2 hours on Sunday. You ain't going to get it. It just ain't got that way. It's not. What I'm talking about is life. I'm talking about something that you do every day. I'm talking about, don't you get up every day? I hope y'all do. I'm talking about living life. I'm talking about connecting to my source. I'm talking about getting back to God. I'm talking about stop in the name. I'm talking about just stop and say, well, God, I come from you, and the only reason I'm living is because of you, and I'm going back to you. So I might as well get connected here. I might as well go ahead and reconnect to my source and get back to that which God has me connected to. And I'll start living from my real source instead of living from my false source. One other scripture and I will close. Maybe. 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Second Peter. Most of us, we get up in the morning and we allow life to happen to us or run past us, and we're always trying to catch up to it. Sometimes it runs over us. In any case, most of us are not living life. Life's living us. God sent us a Savior into the world, but what is a Savior? Is it someone to take us out of the world, or is it someone to deliver us from us? Is the Savior someone to deliver me from me? Or is it somebody to take me out of the world? Jesus said this in John chapter 17. He said, Father, I pray. How many of you believe Jesus' prayer is going to be heard? How many of you believe Jesus' prayer is going to be answered? Jesus said these words. He said, Father, I pray that you do not take them out of the world. Do you know, there was a time in my life as a preacher that I was preaching that what we all need to be looking for is to get out of here. To get the hell out of this place, because it's corrupt, it's wicked, it's all vile, it's all bad. Just look at it. If you don't believe me, just look at the Middle East. Just look around you. Just look at the storms. Look at the chaos. Let's just all get loaded and get out of here. And that's all I preached. Just totally against God's Word. I just preached against it. Father, let's get up a load and get them out of here. And I heard a guy say one time, he said, well, if we really believe all that stuff, then what we ought to do is every time somebody comes to the altar and really gets saved, we ought to take a .38 or a ball bat, hit them in the head and kill them right on the spot. Praise God, they can go into glory. That's a little radical, wasn't it? Just kill them and get them on out of here. Because, I mean, after all, it's not... Well, I want to tell you, it is what you make it. I want to tell you something. I'm living in heaven on earth. I mean, come and be in my world for a while. Come and live in bliss. Come and connect with God. Come and spend some time with me every morning, just me and God. Come and just sit in and listen on what God's telling me. Just come and fellowship with me and the Father. And you talking about fun. You talking about glory. You talking about prospect. Come and live with me and my honey for a while. I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about living it. Jesus didn't come to take you somewhere. Jesus come so that you and me can live. Not so life can live you, but so you can live it. I'm going to tell you, stop. We need to stop. And we need to resaddle this thing. Hello. Amen.
Amen.
God sent us a Savior, and a Savior is more than no more than a deliverer. The UPS man is a deliverer. He takes that which is sent from one place to another. God sent us deliverance. Our problem is we just won't receive what's ours. If the UPS man is a deliverer, brings you a package and leaves it on the porch, it's your fault if you don't go get it. God's brought us a package. What's our problem? Our problem is this gulf, this pit, this thing that's between us. This thing that we think is millions of miles away. And it's not. It's not even an inch. It's not a quarter of an inch. It's as close as the mention of a name. It's just there. Notice what Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. And look at verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. Everybody say knowledge.
Knowledge.
It's the Greek word gnosis. The early church was known as the Gnostic church. Do you know why? Because they did not have, God give us an ear to hear, they didn't have a creed. They didn't have a steeple. They didn't have perimeters. They didn't have boundaries. They didn't say, you can't do this. They didn't have anything. They had a relationship. They built, the early church known as the Gnostic church, built its life, built its everything it did on a relationship out of which they began to commune with God. Jesus didn't come to start something. Jesus came to finish something. And He said, it's done. And you know what He finished? He finished a religious system that was dead, dull, and dumb to the nostrils of God. And you know what we did? We just tried to prop the dead thing back up, build it back up, worship it, try to go to it, instead of building a relationship with God. Instead of getting in a place where I commune with God. I mean, you know, smoke your dope, drink your whiskey, run with your women, and commune with God. And I guarantee you, in that communion, God will take away what He wants taken away. God will reform what He wants reformed. Don't condemn, don't criticize, don't look down your religious nose at somebody because they do something that you don't do. That's religion. That's what's gotten us in so much trouble right now. Pointing to the finger. Jesus said, don't judge, because what you judge, you're guilty of. God help us. Gnosis. He said, through the knowledge of God. This is through the gnosis, through that understanding. Jesus said in John chapter 8, you will know the truth and you'll be free. It's in the gnosis. It's in that intimacy. It's in that secret place where you and God commune. You and God build relationship. You and God, you're in that place. Oh, Father, I'm here. I love. Sometimes you can't do nothing but cry. Sometimes you can't do nothing but grunt. Sometimes groan. Sometimes laugh. Sometimes just be quiet. Sometimes cry. But you get there. And God will do what you can't do. through knowledge, through the gnosis of God. I'm not talking about book knowledge. I'm talking about anointing. I'm talking about spirit. Verse 3, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through gnosis, through knowledge. There's a door or a window or a space, a place where you can connect to your source, which is God. And that door or that window or that space is that connection of the Spirit that's available to every human being that there is. Not one different. Not one. Because we're all the same on His side. All God is just simply saying, even this morning, right now, in this place, as He just said, just look to Me. You know, there's that song that they sang in the traditional church. Come unto Me. Come unto Me. Mm-hmm. How's it go? I will give you all. That's what God's saying. Take My yoke upon you. I will give you rest. Surrender. That's it. Just. I'm not talking about doing things. I'm not talking about religious stuff. I'm not. I'm talking about just a connection to God. Learning to live. Learning to be happy. Not acting happy. Be happy. You remember that little fish and you punch the button, be happy. My grandkids used to have one. They punch that button, that little fish just flop, be happy. Some fish will be happy. That's what God's saying to you this morning. Period. Be happy. Connect to the source. Spiritual connection. Let's all stand. Is that we say and do. In life, they are things that I forgot. They're things that we live from, and God's just simply trying to get our attention. You know why? Because He loves us. He loves us. God just loves us. And what God's wanting to do is just shower His love on us. So we usually take this moment, and everybody, if you would, just pause right now, and let's just. Book Lynn to come to your city, you may call him at 706-463-1971, or you can email him at lynnhayes@charter.net. Thank you.